I know we prayed a lot, but we're going to pray again. Father, we just pray that you will quicken your word. Just breathe your life into your word as we bring it today.
Amen.
Lord, we just thank you that you are our armor.
Amen.
Lord, we know that you are made perfect in our weakness, and we are so weak when it comes to spiritual warfare, and you are so strong. Help us to continually remember to just wait and step back and to let you step up for us. We just love you, Lord. We love you. We wait on your spirit now because we want you to breathe your message to us. Empower it to us. Waken us up in the spirit. Let us lay aside our burdens and just open our spirits to you. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
We're going to talk about Stell, the breastplate of righteousness, part two, because we're going to talk about the weapon. Last week, we talked about Ephesians 4:14b, part where it says, "Stand fast, therefore," or part A says, "having your loins girt about with truth." Second part, having on the breastplate of righteousness. We talked about it needing to be God himself. Imitating Jesus is never going to work.
Amen.
We cannot act like him. I mean, good behavior is a good place to start. I mean, that's the very first step we have to take is good behavior, because our flesh is just crying out to do what it wants, say what it wants, be heard, be understood. So the very first step is that we have to choose not to do that. That's good behavior. Just be quiet. Go silent. Back up and wait on God. So he does want us to behave properly, but that is not the power that will defeat Satan. It must be God himself.
Amen.
Us acting like Christ can't defeat Satan. It's a good thing to do, and it pleases our Father. But we need to actually step back and realize, I am under attack. I am facing a spiritual enemy. He may be coming at you through people, because that's how they work, but it is a spiritual enemy. Therefore,
right.
You have to get in the spirit realm to battle. You want to get into the spirit of God and let him battle.
Amen.
If you get into the spirit of a demon, then all you're going to do is fire up demons and Satan wins. So we want to put on Christ himself.
Amen.
We talked last week about our righteousness is pride.
Right.
And we talked about all the many faces of pride. How our pride wants to defend us, our pride wants to protect us, and our pride wants to promote us. So when we come under attack, we want to fight back. We want to prove that we're right. And you know, a lot of times we are right. Sometimes we are right, but we don't need to say so. When Jesus was under persecution, he didn't answer most of the time. And that's a really good practice. Just go silent. Because sometimes if I open my mouth, everything of flesh is going to come out because I haven't conquered my emotions. And we want to defend. We want to say, but you need to hear what I have to say. You need to know the truth, and then you'll agree with me. You know, we want to do that. But many, many times we just need to be quiet and wait and see what God wants to say. Because, you know, most battles are not about the issues. They're about the feelings behind the issues. And that's what we don't deal with. And that's what God does want to deal with. The real root problems behind the emotions that are flying. And we're not capable of that until we get into God, because our emotions are also all stirred up. So our pride wants to defend, wants to promote, it wants to protect, it wants to argue. And we need to not do that. We need, in order to battle, because pride's going to be the subject a lot again, because this breastplate of righteousness is over our emotions. And what our emotions are, they get full of pride. So last week we took a big look at pride. This week we're going to look at the weapon, which is always the opposite. The weapon is humility. When we are under attack of our pride, we need to use the weapon of humility. We need to move into Christ and let his humility come against the anger or the pride or the accusations that are coming against us. So this weapon of humility is functional through forgiveness. We can't move into the spirit of Christ's humility unless we immediately move into a spirit of forgiveness. If you're under attack, it means somebody's doing something you feel is against you, so you need to choose to forgive them in order to step into Christ in his humility. But I want to talk about another thing, another aspect to this after humility, and that is that this breastplate of righteousness doesn't only cover emotions. It covers our heart, which is the center of our blood flow. It is where all blood is pumped out through our body, and it cleanses everything, and then it comes back into, it brings all those offenses and germs and dirts back into the heart where they're cleansed, and then they pump out fresh life again. So we need to realize that this mercy, this forgiveness, it deals with the blood of Christ flowing out to wash away everything and purify our hearts again. Forgiveness is one of the greatest powers. Forgiveness is the power of the blood of Christ that will open the graves on the resurrection day. That's why the graves will open. Forgiveness will have come to full culmination, and everything that put those bodies in the grave will be undone by the power of the blood of Christ through forgiveness. And the graves will open, and the bodies will come up and get new bodies. Forgiveness is powerful. When my sister died, I said, God, there's nothing I can do for her now. And he said, yes, you can do a lot for her by ministering to the people on this earth that have not forgiven her, that hold things against her, and they have a right. They, like, have a license because she offended them. They have a right to demand her punishment, even her death, that's not under the blood of Christ. There's two levels of forgiveness, and we're not going through the courtroom lesson. I just want to remind you. There is our forgiveness between us and God. When we bring all of our sins to Christ, and he forgives them all, past, now, future, we are forgiven of every sin that would keep us out of heaven, out of an eternal relationship with God. But there's the other level of sin against people. And when we sin against people and they sin against us, it brings sickness and death, and it separates us from the presence of God in our body right now. It shuts the ears of God to our prayer. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me.
Right.
I can pray and pray and pray, but if I have unforgiveness in my heart, he doesn't hear my prayer. If I have bitterness and anger and unforgiveness in my heart, I can't experience the peace and joy and love of God. So when someone offends me and I'm angry and I don't forgive, I separate myself from the very presence of God. Now I can't get healed. I can't get delivered. I can't go any further until I choose to forgive. So I can't even wear this breastplate of Christ in his righteousness if I have unrighteousness that's ruling this heart. He's not covering it right now. So that's why it's so powerful that we forgive. Proverbs 18:12 says, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. And before honor is humility. We think, the devil makes us think, that if we pronounce how right we are, we get to win an argument and be honored. But the devil is a liar, and every time pride takes over, destruction follows. And when humility rules, honor comes. It comes from God himself. 1 Peter 5, 5b. Be clothed in humility, for God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Remember, grace is that divine influence of God. Grace is the divine influence of God upon your heart. So if you have pride swelling up in your heart, God can't even come to be your breastplate. He can't influence your heart because it's already filled with pride. It's already filled with bitterness. It's already filled with anger. So God cannot bring grace for whatever you're needing grace for. You can't find God until you get that out of your heart. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low. The oppression of the devil's lies always bring us low. Matthew 23:12, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. In other words, humiliated. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. We're living in our two realms again. In the flesh, we want to exalt ourselves. I want to tell you why I did what I did, why I'm right for what I did, how you're wrong, I'm right. I'll tell you all the things that I've done and justify myself so that you will exalt me and make me win, make me right. But I'm losing in the spirit realm because Christ can't step forward. His love can't break through. His mercy can't break through. But if I humble myself as Christ, just back up and let him step forward in love, in mercy, in listening, in being patient and long-suffering, then I am honored as God himself lives in and through me. That's an honor that I can let him handle every issue instead of me. First, we need to forgive them and humble ourselves in the sight of God. James 4:10 says, humble yourself in the sight of God, of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So when we're standing there at decision moment, do I fight? Do I argue? Do I prove I'm right? Or do I step back and say, just be quiet? You know, when you're in the midst of it, you're hurt. And it's not sometimes an immediate stepping back. Sometimes we have to step back 2 or 3 days in order to calm our emotions. Because when we're hurt, those emotions are shouting. They are screaming. They just won't shut up. You can't hear God. You're trying to find God, but you can't because your emotions are overpowering you. So this is where behavior control comes in. Just shut up. Be quiet. Go silent. And then say, I refuse to let the spirit that is right now wanting to speak through me, I won't let it. I recognize it. It's not God. And then just spend some time. God, I'm hurting. God, I need help. God, please heal me. God, I can't deal with this. God, I want to be so angry. All those things your emotions want to do, tell them no. And just wait. Wait until the Lord brings his peace. Wait until he brings you some healing. Wait until he begins to work in you first so you can release him to the other person. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. First, we recognize this mighty hand of God. Sometimes that hand needs to be like way bigger than you, so you can picture yourself crawling up into his hand and just hanging on to the big thumb and cuddling in that hand and saying, help, heal me, God, I need you, I need you, I need you. And just stay there until he deals with it. Because you know his hand is mighty. Because you know that in due time, he'll take care of it. And to know that he knows my truth has to be enough. We can't make other people all know it. We can't make them see it our way. That's what we want. We want them to see it our way. But that doesn't always work. But we know that God knows truth. And he sees. Psalm 124, 2 through 8. David was under attack. And David said, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick. When the wrath was kindled against us, then the waters had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. You know what that means? It's like a flood of pride. See it as an evil spirit, like a giant wave of the evil spirit coming at you. And if it had not been for the Lord that I could run into, those waters would have just gone right over me and penetrated into my soul, which is my way I think, my way I feel, and my will. And I would have been enveloped in that pride. And then I would have become another big wave of pride to roll off on someone else. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Release Jesus, because Jesus is meek and humble. You know, we think to be humble means we need to look at our sin. You know, I need to just remember that I am a sinner and remember all my sin and then I'll be humbled. No, then you'll probably be shamed. Jesus was humble, meek, and lowly, and he had no sin. So what did it mean for him to be meek? Jesus in Matthew 11:29 said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." A yoke is a coupling together, like you put on oxen. You know, you get two of them and put up this yoke on them so they have to stay together. Jesus said, come together, couple up with me, and learn about me. So it's a process. This thing is a process of learning. What will Jesus do? And as we behold him, we become transformed into his image. We behold him because we just close our mouths in that yoke and let him speak. And we go, no kidding, that's what you would say. I mean, you're just going to pour love out. And yeah, because it melts the enemy and it loves them and it transforms them. But we don't have that. But as we behold him doing that, we learn by watching him. Release him and watch him. And it will transform you. And it will bring that peace and that rest back inside of your own soul.
Amen.
Learning is a process. It takes repetition, repetition, repetition. I can't say that enough times today. Repetition and repetition, repetition. Learning about Jesus. Because we fall and fall and fall. The word says the righteous man falls 7 times a day and gets back up. But when we fall, we want to give up. We go, I did it again. Hi, just give up on me. I am just hopeless. This is like a heavy thing. I can't fight it. No, it takes repetition. I'm going to get to that with the blood in a minute, but I want you to own that when you fall, don't give up on yourself. Don't give up, because we have to practice the presence of God. Something we practice. It's not easy to do. 1 Peter 3:4 talks about our adorning. Women adorn themselves by putting on makeup and jewelry and pretty clothes. Men, not so much, but you know, there's more vanity in men today than there used to be. But that's how we adorn, what we wear, our clothing. And it says, let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. First Peter 3:8-16. I want to teach you some things about blood today that's going to help you understand why the blood of Christ is necessary for forgiveness. How blood works, what it does in a body, the function of blood. That helps us realize why we want to apply the blood of Christ every time we sin.
1 Peter 3:8-16. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ.
This talks about setting Christ, it says set him aside in you, separate. What was the wording? I don't remember right there. Sanctify, which means to set apart. So come be my Jesus up here again. We're going to keep using him so we see the illustration of what we're doing. Jesus is with me, and Jackson, come be my enemy. Now, my enemy, get right up here in my face and just, yeah, give me some of that, right? Okay? Hey, no hands, no hitting. Now, I have Jesus set on this side of me, and I have my enemy on this side of me, and my flesh is wanting to, you know, my flesh is wanting to say, how dare you talk to me like that? My flesh is wanting to, you're wrong, that's what I want to do. But I have sanctified, I have made a holy place in my life where Jesus stands. I've made a sanctified, holy ground where he stands. Now, if I decide to fight with this enemy, according to that scripture, and then I'm going, Jesus, you don't know what he said to me. You don't know what he said to me. Where are you, Jesus? Why aren't you looking at me? It says, he turns his face away from you. Because you're now in sin, and God doesn't look on sin. He still loves us, and we're still going to heaven. But sin has blocked us from seeing his face. I can't find him. Where's my peace? Where's my healing? Why aren't you listening to me, God? Don't you hear? Don't you see what's happening to me? Come on. I need help. And then when we confess, oh yeah, I got in pride. Oh yeah, I acted, oh, there you are. And then our rest comes back, our peace comes back, because we confess our sin. I keep repeatedly finding out, go away, I keep repeatedly finding out lately that, I think he just likes to be up here, he won't go away. I keep finding out that when I think I've confessed my sin, when I think I've admitted my sin, I haven't really repented. And when I give false repentance, shallow repentance, I still don't get to find God yet. And I keep going, what is wrong? I'm confessing. What is wrong? He's going, let's dig a little deeper. Let's go a little deeper. You want to go a little bit deeper today?
Amen.
You want to get deeply honest
today?
You want to get down where bitterness really lives? Do you want to get healed of those wounds? Then when this worship group comes up today, zone into the violin. Zone in on that violin. That I used to hate that instrument because I lived by not trusting anyone, not believing in anyone, and not allowing anybody in my heart because I didn't want to hurt anymore. I didn't want to feel the hurt anymore. So I wouldn't let myself be vulnerable to the pain. So I didn't want to deal with it. I just bury it. Put that down there in that closet that says, do not open and do not touch. And that violin, because I wasn't a crier, and I couldn't stand crying. It was like, dry up, you know, grow up, deal with it. You know, here's the solution. Quit bawling over your troubles. I had no compassion for tears. It was like, just be an adult, you know, because that's how I treated me. But that violin, man, I was listening to that violin down there in Canada, Toronto, and it was like whining, scratching, whining, crying. The violin is an instrument that gets down into your weeping zones and opens them up. And when God told me, you need to get Ruth Faisal's violin CDs, go home, and just lay there and all night long listen to the violin. I went, torture. Oh, what? Whining and screeching in my ears all night, you know? But that thing got down inside of me, started opening up those issues. And you know what? All of our anger, all of this pride, all this defensiveness, that's where it's coming from.
Right.
Way down there where you hurt.
Right.
Your insecurities, your feeling rejected, feeling devalued, your feelings way down in there in your pain. You don't want to say, I hurt so much, please don't hurt me again. Because they're likely to say, I don't care if you hurt. They're the one that hurt you, why would they care? So you don't want to say that. So you bury it and you go cold. Or you get mean. But that violin is an instrument, when it's anointed of God, that can reach way down in there. Now, if it's not anointed of God, it can take you right into self-pity. And there is no healing in self-pity.
Nope.
None at all. You can bask in it and go deeper and deeper, like quicksand muck of just getting more and more sorry for you and never feel good. But if it's an anointed violin, and right now, wherever Tom is, there he is, right now, that's the anointing on Tom's violin. It may be on his keyboard some other day, but right now it's on that violin. So if you really want to open up, why don't you just speak to pride today when it tells you, stay in your seat and fold your arms and don't let anybody around here see you vulnerable. Just tell it, why don't you just get out of my life, because I'm going to get some healing today.
Amen.
And just go grab a pillow or a blanket and lay on the floor and say, come deep, God. Come deep, because
yep.
I trust you.
Amen.
Open up anything you want. And let's go there and get some healing and deliverance. So get some. Get down inside.
Amen.
We have to forgive before we get forgiven.
Right.
The Bible says, if you do not forgive men, I will not forgive you.
Right.
Now that we're talking about this level of forgiveness again. But I want you to look at the blood for a minute. Leviticus 17:11 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. It is the blood, innocent, pure blood, that God accepts as payment for sin. Let's look at the physiology of blood.
Physiology
of blood. There it is. I'm not so smart, but I am forgiven. I have a degree in forgiveness. Our body, if you think about your whole body, it is made up of tissues, muscles, fats, cells, glands, bones, nerves. All these things have one thing in common. They are not fluid. They cannot travel through the entire body. They have a place, position, and a specific function, except your blood. Your blood travels throughout the entire system. It is the cleansing of the system.
Right.
It has no limitation. It reaches every part. It nourishes and cleanses, carries away the waste products, purifies through the heart, and pumps out new life again. That is the power of the blood in your physical body. That is the power of Christ in the body of Christ, the church. Red cells carry oxygen and they carry away waste. White cells are the defense system. They are their immune system. They have antibodies in them. And they didn't make it out of green fungus. These are the natural antibodies and they are in the white cells. They're pure. There are fewer white cells on a regular basis in your body. There are about 4,000 to 7,000 of them in your body. They increase rapidly in case of emergency. So they rush to the point. So you get a germ. Dirt tries to get into you. Cut your finger and dirt gets in it and infection starts to set in. And these white cells rush to that finger and they're doubling. They're increasing rapidly like little soldiers coming to fight the dirt enemy that entered your body. Now, this is what the blood of Christ wants to do in the body of Christ. Uh-oh, there's an offense over there. White cells, blood of Christ, rush over there and do what? Forgive.
Right.
Get the dirt out. Satan has infiltrated. Satan has infected. White cells, blood of Christ, get over there quickly. Forgiveness will carry them to quickly heal that situation. If we have a problem and there's no antibodies, there's no forgiveness in the blood, then that thing festers and grows. It gets infected and it gets bigger and it goes throughout the whole body, infecting everything until it brings death.
Right.
or sickness or whatever. That's what happens in our physical body. But these little cells are like millions of soldiers, and millions of these little soldiers die in the battle. So let's just say 10 million of them now get on site, and maybe 5 million of them die, and 5 million of them win and defeat that germ that entered the body. So some of them die. Now this is like a picture of Christ. As he battled for our sin, sin came against him, it attacked him, it crucified him, it brought rejection, it brought the beating, it brought the punishment of the sin, and killed his physical body. But he had so many white soldiers still going in that pure blood that he defeated death and rose from the grave.
Amen.
So he overcame the sickness of sin in this world through his pure blood by taking all of the infection on himself and dying for it, spilling out all that pure blood to pay for it. It is such a beautiful picture.
Amen.
Then other cells, other white cells, enter that body and clean up the battlefield. And they nourish new tissue to grow and create new cells where the damage was. This is healing. This is restoring a wounded Christian by coming in with love and truth and restoring that wounded person. Such a beautiful picture. And the enemy is overcome by the blood of the Lamb. This also builds a resistance to the same germ when it attacks again.
Right.
Because the white cells get smarter each time. They go, ah, we fought this guy before. And we learned a little bit last time about how to defeat him. Now, if we look at, this is where the encouragement is, okay? We get angry. Or we run our big mouth when we don't want to. And then we step back and go, ah, I did it again. I do it again. I always do it again. I'm just a failure. I might as well give up. I just feel like quitting because I never stop doing the same sin. Maybe it's gossip. Maybe it's getting drunk. Maybe whatever the sin is that gets you again and again and again and again. And we feel hopeless because of it. But this is what you have to own. Once you bring it to Christ, under the blood, and it's washed away. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. Here's the pure blood washing out that germ. Maybe I used to wallow around in that sin, the guilt and shame, or let's just say I do drugs and I fall and I go out and I start doing the drugs again. And I go on a binge of doing drugs for 3 months. And I just stay out there wasted for 3 months. Because I'm feeling like I'm never going to change. I just can't beat this thing. It's so powerful. And all of a sudden, Christ rescues me. I repent. I say, no more of this. And I come back into Christ. Something happens and I get upset. And I don't know what to do. And I go back to drugs. And I go back to them again. And I stay out there 1 month. Why 1 month instead of three? Because I remember I got rescued by Jesus. He could rescue me again. And I come back. I beat it quicker because I remembered how I got delivered. And I remembered that sweet presence of God. And I want that back again. And then I go fall again. But it only lasts a week. And the next time it lasts 3 days. And the next time it's 1 day. And the next time I did drug once. And then I said, no, I won't go there. You see, I'm building immunity by experiencing Christ, fighting against that same germ.
Amen.
And I'm learning. Jesus said, learn of me. Learn of me. This is learning. This is antibodies of the blood of Christ. Every time you fight the same germ, you learn to recognize it. You learn to begin to, in the midst of it, you don't. But after you get out of it, you look back and you go, what took me down? What thought process led me there? And what was the result after I gave in and went there? And those memories, those experiences are learning of Christ. And we're getting more victories, or we're getting the victory quicker because we're building immunity against that particular germ. And we're not going to defeat all sin till we get to heaven, but we're in the battle against one strong sin in our life, and we know what it is because he points out that weakness. Learn. Learn about Christ. and hold on to what you learn and see how much quicker you defeat it next time. Your immunity system is growing. That is encouraging. That is, how much quicker do I repent? There's encouragement. How much quicker will I repent? There's my encouragement. If you try to count how many times you fall, you're going to be so discouraged. Count how many times you got up again.
Amen.
Count how many times you didn't fall. Count the shortness of the time before you come back. The wages of sin is death. Now, I don't know anybody that doesn't die. I don't know anybody that doesn't get sick. Now, there is sickness under the glory of God. You know, there was a man who was sick, and his disciples said, who sinned, him or his parents? Because sin is in our blood. It comes from our parents, too. Jesus said, neither. He was sick for the glory of God. I'm healing him today, and I just want you to see that great contrast, you know. I say Jesus is letting me get older and older so you can see the great contrast on the day we get youth renewal. Would have impressed you 20 years ago. It'll impress you 20 from now. Oh, I hope that's not a truth. I'm old enough right now. Good contrast. Let's go. Sin brings death. Wages of sin is death. Death comes through sickness. Now, there are some sins that come immediately. I mean, death that comes immediately. There are sicknesses in our body that we see instant healing, and there's other sicknesses that hang in there and just nag us through our life, and they won't go away. Why? Maybe we don't have good antibodies for that yet. And maybe it's related to sin. Maybe it's for the glory of God. I don't know. But I know that we die because we sin. You sin, you die. You sin, you die. There was a movie, The Kid. You laugh, you die. You laugh, you die. We changed that over to sin, you die. That's just a simple fact. You repent, you live.
Right.
You repent, you live.
Amen.
Here's your lifeline. I've got a lifeline like this. I sin, I'm dying. I sin, shorten my life. I sin, shorten my life. I repent, lengthen my life.
That's right.
Lengthen my life.
Right.
We shorten, we lengthen, we shorten, we lengthen, we shorten, we lengthen. One of these days we're going to get it. Just keep repenting quick and live longer.
Amen.
Maybe even defeat those sicknesses and even age that is now tearing our life out of
Amen.
Us. It will get defeated. Because in the end it is the blood of Christ reaching into the very grave. And when he said, if you believed this, you would never taste of death. We're still tasting of death. But it's already done. We're not applying that blood. We're not living under the blood. Enough of the time. 1 Peter 1:19. You are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus, as a lamb without spot or blemish. He offered up his blood for our sin, for our forgiveness.
Amen.
We have the power to forgive others who sin against us. We have the power to repent of our own sin and have that blood cleanse us. We have the power to forgive everybody who sins against us. It is a choice, not a feeling.
Amen.
It is a choice, and you have that choice to make, even if you don't feel it. Now you can say, I choose to forgive them. But God, did you see what they did? I mean, you're not over it yet. Emotions come down slow. I mean, but I choose to forgive them. Don't punish them. I choose to forgive them. But I'm still so angry. Take it to God. God, forgive me the anger and heal my heart of the wound. My emotions come down a little bit and I feel better. But now that I'm thinking about it again, you know, it just keeps boiling back up. You may have to draw back for a day or 2 days, and keep choosing to forgive them and to forgive you. So you have to forgive yourself too. Your forgiveness is already there with him, but you need to accept it and forgive yourself. If you put yourself under shame and condemnation, you will never feel your forgiveness. You won't experience it in the power. This is of God. It is not of us. We can't do it. You can't love who you don't love. You can't truly change your heart into feeling forgiveness. That has to be him. He has to do it. You can't do it.
Right.
But to come into him and choose these things, and he will do them.
Amen.
Maybe not right that minute, but he will do it. He will do it. God is holy. We are not. Don't be shocked when you have those bad thoughts. You're not holy. He is.
Amen.
Just repent of them.
Amen.
Admit them. We need to release mercy. Revelation 12, 10 through 11. Revelation 12, 10 and 11. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ. What is it that made that verse true? Look what came. Our salvation got completed. Our strength was there. And the kingdom of God. And what? And the power, the full power of Christ. What ushered that in? For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. When the accuser gets sent on down to hell in chains in the pit of blackness and the lake of fire, when he gets sent there and he can't get in our thoughts anymore, then we get our full revelation of our salvation. No more of his attacking pride and anger. He is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. You know, he stands before God day and night accusing you of everything you do and think and feel. God, did you see it? Harvey had a bad thought again. God, did you see it? Janiah was grumpy today. God, did you see it? Brandon wasn't nice to his brother. God, did you notice? Constantly. Everything we do, every step we take out of line, he caused us to do it in the first place. And then he goes and tattles about it. Constantly. And to us, did you see what you did? Do you check your heart? What are you feeling? Constantly accusing us. How did they overcome? It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
By the blood of the
Amen.
Lamb.
Yep.
And by the word of their testimony.
Right.
The word of their testimony. Step back into that blood. Because for you to overcome by the blood of the Lamb means you choose to forgive.
Amen.
You choose to repent. Your word, your testimony is, I forgive and I repent and I accept your forgiveness. But even more than accepting that I am forgiven, I want to be delivered. What do we want from them, the offenders? We want them to hear the truth, see the truth, get it our way, know what really happened, and agree. Know how you made me feel. That's what we want from them. We give up that right, and we just forgive them.
Yeah.
Then we go to God. God, I got angry. I yelled at them. I walked out on them. I did this, and I did that, and I judged, and I gossiped, and I did all these things. And what does God want me to feel? He wants me to see truth and agree with him on what I've done and come to true repentance. He wants that from me. He wants from me what I wanted from them, but he won't argue for it. He won't follow me around yelling at me to get it. But when I tell him that's what I want, God, I know I'm forgiven, and I thank you for your blood that does cleanse me. But God, I want more than to just know I'm forgiven. I want you to deal with me.
Amen.
I want you to go deep down inside and help me see this your way. Help me feel about it the way you do. Because you are right and I am wrong. And I want to see this from your perspective. I want true repentance. That is what God is after in us right now.
Amen.
Not just I choose to forgive them. Now I'm sorry for how I did. Now I'm forgiven. Now let's go. I don't have his face yet.
Right.
Because I'm not really sorry. I'm just sorry that it is sin. Sorry that I know God says this is sin, so I'm in trouble. Sorry that I acted in a way I'm not proud of, but I'm still right. I mean, we all know that, right? You know? I love the saying you guys have around here, you want to be right or you want to be happy? That's what they say about agreeing with your wife. You want to be right or do you want to be happy? Well, with God, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? We have to agree with God.
Amen.
Seriously.
What he says is right.
With what he says about the way we react. Not whether or not we're right on an issue, but how we handle things.
Right.
Do we move in love? I don't feel the love at the moment. That's why he is the breastplate of righteousness.
Right.
He does feel the love at every moment. Now, I'm going to take that back. He doesn't always feel the love. He chooses the love. Because he can see what we can't. If I could actually see my husband with a big, black, vicious, ugly monster that's on him, got a hand in the back of his neck and controlling his mouth and making his mouth move, I wouldn't be mad at him. I would say, get off my husband, you black, ugly monster. But we don't recognize the enemy. We blame our friends. And that's not easy because we're feeling hated and we're feeling hurt. So we don't, and it's coming out that face. So I want to blame that face. And I want to hurt it back. That is something we have to learn about Christ. He can do what we can't do. He can love us when we're in the midst of the black, ugly monster on our face. He can love us right at that moment and not forget his love. And why? What if we made God lose his temper? Whew. Talk about fire-breathing dragons. Oh, if God just went, Sue, you're acting so ugly toward me, I think I just can't take anymore. He'd just burn me right up. I'd be disintegrated. Praise God, he doesn't lose his temper toward me. He just goes, she's in deception again. I have to turn around until she repents. But I'm right here waiting for it. He does a lot of turning around on me. Turn around, turn back, turn around, turn back. Because I repent so many times per day. Meaning I need to repent so many times per day. And sometimes I have a hard time even finding that repentance. This breastplate of righteousness. In just a second. This breastplate of righteousness is over our heart. Because, one, that's the control center of our emotions. Our pride can't control our emotions. The righteousness of Christ has to step up for us. It's also over our blood control center where we get to choose to release the blood of Christ in mercy. They have to go together because the weapon is humility, forgiveness, mercy. That's the only way we will keep our heart covered with Christ, covered with this protection. Boy, the enemy, he has two main spots, head and heart. Get you in the heart of emotion or in the head of your belief system. That's his two main targets. We have to have those two areas well protected with truth. What's your verse then?
1 Peter 2:23. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously.
Yes. Awesome. When we're suffering, we can't be kind. We just need to be silent. Just be silent. Run into Christ. Choose to forgive. Ask him to step up and take over and to heal us. We have been a few weeks now. We've gotten through the loins gird about with truth, 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 truth. I hope you went home and studied that and said, God, what is my weakness? What truth do I need to make my core strength stronger? Where am I weak? What truth do I need? You know, you could probably spend the rest of our life on that one with the truths, the weak areas and the truths. And then we see the heart. See, these intertwine. Now our heart, our emotions, the forgiveness, power of that. But this is another truth, too. This is another truth also about your loins. They all intertwine. They all intertwine. So as we go on, keep going back over them. I'm going back over the truth. I'm typing it up, and it keeps growing. It's grown into more than I preached here because I just keep discovering more and adding that to it. Patty started studying that one. It has 40, last I heard, 40 pages written out on it.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So when you take these things home, read these scriptures, pray them. Pray them. God, I want to be an overcomer. I want to overcome by the blood of the Lamb. I want the word of my testimony to be running to you and releasing you.
Yes.
God, I want to own this. I want to own it. I want the thoughts, the truths. I want the emotions of it. I want the power of it because I want the kingdom of God in my life. I want the power of Christ to come in my life.
Amen.
I want the power. Resurrection power is the blood of Christ. I want to own it, God. Please go home and do these things. Don't just hear them on Sunday and say, nice. Got it. Own it. Practice it. Practice the presence. Allow Jesus to continue living his life through you. Don't imitate him. Release him.